episode 110 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. We're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help push you outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics, so if there's something you'd like to hear more about, please let us know. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy, Robin, and Lindsay. This week we're also pleased to welcome a special guest, Tammy. Tammy recently returned from Peru with G Adventures. If you're not familiar with G Adventures, they specialize in adventure travel and smaller group sizes. There are several different types of tours ranging from comfort to active, and they also range from land to sea. They have some marine options as well. Tammy's trip took her to Machu Picchu, and we're excited to hear all about it. So let's get started. So let's start at the very beginning, Tammy. Why did you choose to go to Peru?
Excellent. This was one of those bucket list type of items. I have thought about this for quite some time. I ended up going with my sister, whom this was also a bucket list item. So we had an opportunity after some time to look at 2016 and look at our goals. And finally, Elizabeth, thanks to her and her magic, was able to make it happen for us this year.
Great. That was a great trip, too.
So I am so interested in this because I love the idea of adventure travel, but I had a trip this year that was a little more adventurous than I had bargained for.
So now we're scared.
So I want to hear your take on the adventure part, because I noticed they had several different kinds. So what kind did you choose to do? Did you choose one of the more active ones?
Or? Yeah, this was one of the more active ones. Mm-hmm. I do want to preface this with, if you're going to do Machu Picchu, it is extremely popular. So you do have to book well in advance. So if you're thinking about it a year in advance or even 6 months in advance, that's not too soon. Mm-hmm. To your point about the adventure portion of it, it definitely was an adventurous and active trip. There is several ways to do this. So there you can do get there via a train or a partial hike in a train. We chose to do the traditional Inca Trail, hiking for the 4 days, camping for three, and really just being out in the wilderness.
So, is it scary wilderness?
No. I will say this, G Adventures does everything absolutely possible to ensure that every person that starts finishes. I think, really take a great deal of pride in doing exactly that. There were 10 of us that were on this trip. They specialize, as Elizabeth said, in small group travel. So the largest group you're going to have is 16 people. Mm-hmm. We ended up with 10. There were actually more porters, cooks, guides than there were people actually trekking the trip. And as I said, they do everything possible to make sure that you, A, have a good time getting there, and B, make it to your destination.
So were there people in your group that maybe might not have seemed like they were going to make it the whole way?
We had folks from early 20s up into 60.
Oh, wow.
And yet we talked to the guides and we asked, you know, what's the youngest you've ever had? What's the oldest you've ever had? And they've had people up into their 70s as well.
Yeah.
I think the big thing is I would definitely recommend doing at least a little bit of training, walking. Certainly it's a lot of climbing.
So yeah, there's
altitude, exactly. Yeah. So I would definitely recommend, you know, walking at least the distance every day and then maybe getting on a stair stepper or something like that. Obviously speaking with your doctor ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And the climbing, the biggest thing is it's stone steps. Anything from 4 inches in height up until, you know, 20 inches in height. So it varies.
Oh, wow. Oh.
So, but there's no like climbing, like rock climbing, like grabbing onto it.
No, it's all, yeah, and all that. It's not like that. Okay. Yeah. At least for this trip. You can do that in Peru, but yeah, not for this. The traditional Inca Trail is mainly walking.
Tammy, how long was the trip?
We had gotten there a couple of days ahead of time, which was a wonderful piece of advice to acclimatize to the altitude. So I would recommend at least a day possibly 2 days if possible, to get there early. And there's things to do. We flew into Lima, quickly jumped over to Cuzco, and then spent a couple days in Cuzco before starting the hike. The first day you are with G-Adventures doing a couple of area towns. There's some specialty things that G-Adventures has you on. They do some community-based projects. So there's a weaving project. You get to learn about the alpacas and how they dye and take care of the wool and such. There's also a planetaria project for food, in which they feed you a wonderful lunch, beautifully prepared. It's served in the people that are serving it is in the traditional Inca outfits and such. Just a really a nice day to A, get to know your fellow travelers, and B, get used to the altitude before you actually start hiking. Mm-hmm. The actual hike starts the following day. You have a slightly shorter distance and less climbing on the very first day. It's a good way to kind of introduce you to the hiking. If you can't make it that first day, that might be a really good signal and to depart. And there's the option to do that. It's not so difficult to get back off the mountain if that is a problem or you're really struggling with altitude sickness. By the second day, it's you go over probably the steepest portion of the trip. It's Dead Woman's Pass, and so by that portion, it's obviously a little more difficult to turn around.
Why do they call it Dead Woman's Pass?
because mounted on its side looks like a woman lying down. Oh,
okay. See, they have one like that in Alaska, and they call it Sleeping Lady.
Okay. Yes, similar.
Can you explain a little more detail about the camping? Yeah. I'm always fascinated by people who not only choose to sleep outside, but pay to do so.
Let me preface this with, I am a germaphobe.
Oh, wow.
So my family was kind of interested to see how I would survive this. And I have to admit, I did have to do some soul searching. And I had plenty of white wet wipes and yeah. these kinds of things. However, it really, I have to admit, it wasn't as bad as I thought. They did, one, there's porters that set up and take down your tent and such. They do bring you bowls of water to wash up with in the morning. There's freezing cold showers from the stream
yeah.
on day two and day three if you choose to partake.
Wow.
But the camping itself really wasn't that bad. There's blow-up mattresses that they set up for you. You have tents, but you have sleeping bags that you rent, and the price on that was really good to get the sleeping bags, the pads, some hiking poles and such. But once you're in there and you're all snuggled up in the sleeping bag and such, the sleeping is fine, and the camping itself was not as bad as I thought.
Lindsay and I don't camp. Uh-huh. We don't do this. Yeah. Sandy does. Okay. So when you say it's not that bad, do you camp?
No. Okay. I have not camped since I was 12.
Okay. All right. So Lindsay, it's not that bad.
Yeah. So I could just imagine when she said that they camped along the way, that they were like anchoring somewhere.
No.
Yeah. No.
Halfway up journey, they don't journey at day one. And
yeah.
Not that adventurous.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Robin.
You were talking about renting sleeping bags. Is there any special gear that you had to bring, or were there things that you needed that you could rent from them?
Great question. You do have to buy a couple of items, and you do have the opportunity to rent some items. So let me start with a couple things that I ended up buying. I did end up buying hiking boots, the low type. You can do it in sneakers. I would recommend a hiking boot just to make sure that you can hang on to the rocks. It's the Inca Trail is rocks. It's paved in stones, if you will. So just in case it rains or what have you, it would be a good idea to have that and support your feet. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to make sure that after all the miles to get there, I did not want to not finish this because of shoes.
Yeah.
So it's definitely worth
that.
That
can make a difference.
Yeah. It can make a big difference. Exactly.
Can knock you out. Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I ended up purchasing was a backpack. In a real backpack, not like a children's back-to-school backpack. There was one person on our trek that did use one of those, and she did say by about the third day, her shoulders were sore, and she wished that she actually sprung for the extra money and bought a real backpack. To that end, I used a 40-liter, and again, I was weighted down with, you know, wet wipes and such. You could get away with less than that if necessary. But that would be the two main items that I would definitely purchase. G Adventures does supply the sleeping bag, the a thin liner, and like I said, all your food and the sleeping tents, the camping tents, the cooking tents, etc. So there's none of that you need to do. You don't prepare any meals or any of that. They do. You literally get up in the morning, get yourself washed and dressed, and walk. If you can do that, they take care of everything else. So, again, they'll provide the hiking poles. There's no need to purchase those unless you're going to go out and hike every weekend anyway. The sleeping bag, they're rated for up to -8 degrees Fahrenheit. And the blow-up mattresses, just to make it a little bit more comfortable. The one other item, if you need this, is some people would like a blow-up pillow instead of, like, just stuffing a, sweatshirt or something under your head for a pillow, but that might be the only extra other thing you might want to take.
So was it cold?
It was cold. We went in September, mm-hmm. which was the end of their winter mm-hmm. and the beginning of their spring, if you will. So, or their summer rather. So you would be, or spring into summer rather. Mm-hmm. So that particular time of the year was chosen because A, the crowds were lower, mm-hmm. B, it wasn't as cold as it would have been maybe a month or two earlier, and C, we really wanted to avoid the rainy season.
When's the rainy season?
It starts in like October, November,
yeah.
all the
yeah,
way
that
through
would be,
February.
Yeah, it's into the beginning, isn't it? Yeah, it's the beginning of the year.
So whenever you're camping, is it... do you worry about, like, bugs and stuff? I would imagine when it's colder, you don't have to worry quite so much.
Right. There was one woman on our trek that did take a bug repellent type mm-hmm. of thing. She was the only one. The rest of us, we didn't take it and we didn't need it.
Yeah.
So that wasn't, I didn't see that as a problem at all. The scenery is spectacular. I mean, you literally, because of where you're going and the different altitudes, you go from almost like a deserty-like topography. Your first night sleeping is just gorgeous. It's in this nice little field next to a brook. So you have that whole ambiance. And then, of course, there's that Dead Woman's Pass, as I mentioned. So that's the big, you know, wahoo, part of the hike, you know, to have accomplished it exactly. And then you go through various mountain meadows. There's ponds in the middle of this that you just are unexpected, through the cloud forest. So you see many of these air plants you buy around here for anywhere between $10 and $20. I could have picked them up off the trail and stuffed them in my luggage if I wouldn't have got stopped.
No, you can't really do that.
Exactly. No, you can't really do that.
Outlander travel does not advise it.
Exactly. But it was just gorgeous. The topography was just really, the scenery was really nice. And of course, also the very last day, Machu Picchu was beautiful.
So what's stuck a little bit about the history of the Inca Trail and Machu Picchu? Why is that such a bucket list for people?
I think for folks, one, having read some of the history behind there and how, you know, it's, some people call it a, you know, lost civilization. Others say that, well, it's been known for a long time and it's just not well advertised. So I think that just to actually be on that trail after hearing and reading about it, I think that was key, as well as for me personally, it was just the sense of accomplishment for the physical portion of the hike as well.
So how many miles a day were you hiking?
Day one and two is a little bit shorter, about 5-6 miles. Day three is a little bit longer, but it's the prettiest day as well, so about 10. And then the last day, again, about 5-6 miles. The whole thing is no more than the length of a marathon.
Yeah.
So on one hand, you know, you think to yourself, well, heck, I can do a marathon in a couple hours. But on the other hand, you know, because of the topography, it takes longer.
Right.
So, and again, I think, you know, G-Adventures does a really good job in making sure that, you know, the entire group has time to rest and relax and take in the sights and scenery, mm-hmm. and really get out of the trip as much as they want. They also do a really good job at several points. You don't just hike all day and do nothing. There are various archaeological vistas on the way, and you stop and hear a little bit of history about the Inca people and that particular archaeological site before moving on. So it's not a boring day either. It really goes by quite quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So whenever, I'm sorry, I'm asking so many questions.
You are. Okay, well, I know that you and your sister have very different travel styles. You travel together a lot, but you know, but we talked about this a lot. Your sister's a little bit more comfort, and you're a little bit more like, go, 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 go.
Yep.
So how did she like it? Was she?
Yeah, she really did like it. And I think ahead of time, she knew a little bit more about what she was getting into. So she knew it wasn't going to be, you know, such and such thread crown sheets and this kind of thing. Overall, I think having prepared mentally for the trip, I think she really did enjoy it. I think she was pleasantly surprised with two parts. One, I thought she mentioned it was very well orchestrated, that the day went by very quickly. There was always, you know, like I said, you weren't just walking and walking for hours going, oh, when are we going to be done this?
Mm-hmm.
So there was, the day was varied. There was plenty to see. There's plenty of little history lessons and such along the way. But the other aspects of it that she found probably pleasantly surprising was the food. I eat for nutrition and just like get on with it. She wants presentation and variety and this kind of thing. And I think I mentioned a little bit earlier on the first day, they have the Planetaria project in which you do go to a cute little place where they have, you know, grown the food, kind of farm to table type of thing, and it's elegantly presented and such. But even along the trail, they make darn sure that there's plenty of food, that there's a variety of items, and it's very well thought out what you're eating and when you're eating it. So, for example, at every meal, you're going to get some sort of soup, like lunch and dinner, some sort of soup. So you want to stay hydrated for the altitude. They make darn sure you get hydrated one way or the other. And the soups were wonderful. There was never repetition. You had something different every time. Mm. The meals, same thing. Again, very well thought out. You had starch, you had some sort of vegetable, you had a protein kind of thing. And then we had little sweets and stuff along the way as well. There was always like a little tea time in the afternoon, which was nice. And they'd give you, you know, cooked tea or regular tea or, you know, these kinds of things, hot water. And then popcorn, they pop popcorn for you every afternoon, which was really nice. You wake up in the morning with, again, water and cocoa tea and such. We had a couple surprises along the way. For example, our very first night camping, the very next day, breakfast, we had pancakes with our names written in like a caramel sauce, like a leche sauce on them. So that was really kind of fun. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then on day three, we were all surprised because they actually baked a cake. Baked and decorated this beautiful cake with the name of our little group. And presented that on the third day. So the food was quite a surprise. You would not have guessed this for camping. And it was delicious, plenty of food. Many of the women actually even said, can you bring me half portions? after about the second day. And it was varied, nutritious. And like I said, there were some surprises along the way as well.
Did you run into other tour groups?
We did. So every time you camped, predominantly, you would see the other camping groups along with you. And I have to say, for the money, I thought G Adventures gave a pretty value based type of camping experience. We looked at some of the other, you know, the other tents and the other accommodations and such. And with the exception of, there was one other group there that seemed to have supply like blow up pillows. Their tents were a little bit taller. Their dining ware was a little nicer. But other than that, that was really about it. We felt we got a good value for the dollar.
Was this your first guided tour?
No, it's not. I've done a couple of others. I've done a biking tour, and I've done a tour of Italy with another group. This is my first hiking tour, however, and my first time with G Adventures as well.
So how did it stack up? Did you feel like it's a pretty typical guided tour, or did you feel like it was a little better, a little worse?
I thought, and again, it was different. So this was not your, in the way of food and lodging, it wasn't the top of the line.
Mm-hmm.
However, this was, for the Inca Trail, I thought this was perfect. Many people, when we came back, the first question everybody asked us is, did you have wine on the trail? And frankly, even if we had it, I don't think I would drink it because of how precarious some of these paths and such were. I definitely wanted to have my wits about me. But I felt that for camping, it wasn't glamping in any stretch, but I felt it was adequate. And then I felt... I'm sorry?
What did you say, Lindsay?
I said, I'm out.
Yeah.
But I thought that the guides did a tremendous job in making sure that they covered some of the history, the cultural aspect, some of the pride of the Peruvian people, all kind of rolled into one. So as a group, I thought they stacked up fairly well. And again, it's it's hard to compare it one to one with a type of tour that is focused a little more around, you know, 4-star dining, mm-hmm, and nice B&Bs and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
But like I said, I thought they did a really good job. And then comparatively with the other groups that were there, with the exception of the few items that I mentioned, I thought they did a really good job.
So they seem to go a little bit further with, giving back to some community, giving a more authentic experience with really getting in touch with the destination. Did you feel like that was true?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I didn't feel like I was being bussed around with someone with a little flag, like, follow me, mm-hmm. and the whole tour group would go. Yeah. I mean, even to the extent of when we went to, as I said, the first day you had your opportunity for the two outreach projects, the weaving project, as well as the Planetaria, the kind of farm to table piece.
Planetaria is their nonprofit arm.
Right.
Yeah.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Correct. So you really got, and you interacted with the people that were there. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like a tour group looking at these people. You actually got to, you know,
talk to them
and get right into, you know, where they're doing the loom and this kind of thing, and see exactly what they were doing and ask questions and this kind of thing. So you did get that opportunity, that one-to-one opportunity. Additionally, all of the porters and the cooks and such that were on our track are Peruvian folks, and they set, from the first night, they set up that opportunity that kind of we are a family together making this trek. Mm-hmm. Even though we've done it for the last 52 weeks, we know we can do it. But it's that type of experience. So mm-hmm. it would be nothing for you to chat with one of these folks, you know, especially if you knew the language. Mm-hmm. But they would even kind of interpret a little bit for you,
mm-hmm.
and they encourage that kind of thing. That again, that kind of one big open family,
mm-hmm.
All just kind of making this adventure together.
Great. So before you went, you know, South America wasn't high on your list, other than this item. Is it any higher on your list now, or are we done with South America?
I I think we might be done.
We might be done.
I mean, I might go back and do pieces of it, but I don't have the desire to, as I do with other countries. Mm-hmm. I mean, like Italy, I would move there tomorrow if I could. Mm-hmm. You know, South America, I would not move there tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Or the next day.
Or the next day. Yeah. I mean, I would like to see little pieces and parts of it, mm-hmm. But yeah, I think select areas is what I'm interested in.
I have a cousin who she teaches Spanish, and mm-hmm. they do these immersive vacations where they go and stay with people, and they've done Peru twice. They love it. They really love Peru. Yeah.
I had another client who was actually, he actually only bought insurance from me because he was going on a mission trip, and that's a very popular place to do mission trips as well. Yeah. So all that was booked separately.
Did you guys have llamas for your trek?
We did not. There is a Lars trek, mm-hmm. and they utilize some llamas and such. However, there are llamas there at many of the archaeological sites. Mm-hmm. So you do get to see them up close and personal, if you like. And then in Cusco, it's very much a touristy town, mm-hmm. But don't let that dissuade you. It's beautiful. I would definitely spend a couple days. To your point about language, and you know, what am I going to do here? There is a school there, so if you'd like to tack on a couple days and do immersive Spanish, that would be the place to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, I know Tina and I did kind of bean to bar making chocolate one day. There's mm-hmm. plenty to do mm-hmm. there while you're waiting to start the trek or after the trek. The other thing I would recommend to folks is talk to your Outlander travel agent about looking at, you know, a couple different places within Cusco to stay. We enjoy the San Blas area mm-hmm. quite a bit.
So were there opportunities to shop?
Yes, there were. Certainly in Cusco proper, definitely. Mm-hmm. We also, that first day, ended up staying at Ollantaytambo prior to getting starting on the hike. There was places to shop there.
Now, were you going to have to carry it all with you?
If you shopped, you would have to carry it. Now, G-Adventures went kind of the extra mile and allowed people to keep some of their items at Ollantaytambo, and then we came back after the trek. And you know, picked up some of those items, but for the most part, I'm not sure if every tour group gets to do that.
Yeah,
we had that nice luxury, but I would say this: if you were into like alpaca type of items and beautiful fabrics and such, it really is a nice place to pick up some items like that. I know Tina did some shopping mm-hmm. while she was there. And then also at that weaving project that I mentioned for G-Adventures, they have some very beautiful things. And the pricing was actually, now that we got to explore it all, mm-hmm. the pricing was actually very, very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes you wonder about that because when you're sort of carted somewhere and directed to something, you think that you're going to be gouged a little bit. But
the pricing was very, very good.
That's good. Did you guys have, Sandy's dominating this conversation. Do you guys have any questions? Because we are getting low on time here.
Would you do G-Adventures again?
I would definitely do G-Adventures again. I thought they did a really good job. I think I would definitely explore a little bit before. Most of the trips that I saw with them, mm-hmm. it was kind of like this. It was a little bit of a learning opportunity, a little bit of an active vacation. So it was mm-hmm. kind of a multi-dimensional type thing. So I would definitely, in fact, I will say this, at the end of the trip, I really do miss having those every week kind of goals to try to achieve between mm-hmm. learning about the culture or walking so many miles this week or what have you. It really took up a good part of the year, and it was actually somewhat exciting to do that.
So did they give you those guidelines, or did that was just you planning?
Yeah,
a lot more planning.
Yeah. Tammy's a planner.
Yeah. So do they give you like physical guidelines though of what you should, you know, like a training plan kind of thing?
They don't really give you a training plan. They do give you a packing list, but mm-hmm. I would definitely talk to someone who's mm-hmm. gone mm-hmm. and tighten up that packing list a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. You do get a good like document packet that has, but it's a lot of information, mm-hmm. and you tend not to get that until closer to time to travel. So by then you've already sort of.
I mean, because it seems to me like if I was going to do something like this, I would want to train for a couple months to mm-hmm. really get used to, mm-hmm.
so that you enjoy it. Yeah,
definitely. You want to be able to do it comfortably.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think G Adventures is one of my favorite companies for trips like this, these sort of higher adventure. They do other things as well. And mm-hmm. I sent a client to on a Croatian, you know, at the beginning mm-hmm. of the podcast, we talked about, yeah, doing the, they do land and marine, and they have these mm-hmm. smaller vessels. And he did the, I think, Split to Dubrovnik, and you get on a, like a 16-person catamaran and just sort of cruise around the islands of Croatia, mm-hmm. Which sounds fantastic. And it is, it's one of those things where there's, you know, that they basically, you pony up and the captain goes in and, you know, onto the island and goes and gets food for you and brings back. So you have very authentic meals and things like that. And you eat together, but, and he can veer, like if everybody who's on the boat wants to go someplace other than the next stop that they're supposed to go, they can redirect. So that's a really nice thing about small groups like yeah. that. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, if there's no other questions, I'm looking pointedly at Sandy. that is our show for this week.
Already got a date picked out.
Yes, I know. Right? She's a big G Adventures fan. Mm-hmm. That is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com, then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast. Or you can just search in Facebook for Fly Away. And please be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. A huge thank you to Tammy for joining us tonight. Thank you so much for taking your time.
I loved hearing about this.
Yes. We're looking forward to it very much. On behalf of Sandy, Lindsay, Robin, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.